1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to the new week. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. I go there for the stories. I also go to nationalbugle.com for the stories. And also I go to nationalbugle.com for the kosher-tified app. You can find it there, or just go to thekosherquestion.com. And also, I go to RBN for the donate page, because you can click there. You can send shekels. You can send renminbi. You can send British sterling. How about that, Mark Collett from Great Britain? British sterling. Sterling pound. What do you think of that?
I think that was your way of checking that I was on the line, Patrick.
I know you're
Which
on
I am. I'm here. Hello.
You're on the line. I know you're
I'm on the line. I'm here with my cup of tea. But I'm sadly lacking much sterling on my person at the moment.
Oh well. So, and it's Monday. We have you on, and we often talk about your videos. And you are doing a Christmas adverts 2.0 video, because you did one last year, which is very very.
I did, which got me which got the video put into not limited state, not banned, not a strike, but YouTube hid it from people. They set it to private, first saying that it was hate speech, then acknowledging it wasn't hate speech. Then after they acknowledged it wasn't hate speech, they went on to say that the reason it was banned was because that I'd linked to the other Christmas adverts and I'd tagged the other companies in it, and the title of the advert was misleading. Sorry, the title of the video was misleading, so people might have thought it was by those companies and producing misleading material. You know, I got a good telling off, and they set the video permanently to private. Now, at the time, that was a huge blow to me, because I was on a bit of a roll. I'd just produced a video, I think I'd just produced the one called It's Okay to Be White, which was on a roll, and this came off the back of it, and it was going to be big, and it was huge. It was a huge video, but it was huge on other platforms, and it was huge on other people's pages who hosted it for me, because other people hosted it and removed the tags after it had been set to private on mine. And those who did host it, and those who hosted it with the tags removed, it wasn't removed. So it was big for other people, but not necessarily for me. But at the time, it created a bit of a stir, because a lot of people were very quick to put their necks on the line, thankfully, and help me and give me a bit of exposure, but also show how YouTube appeared very much so to be protecting the interests of big corporate entities, because obviously these big corporate entities, companies that I criticize, like Morrison's, most famously Tesco, who were the other ones? I criticized eBay, I criticized Debenhams, I criticized Marks and Spencer's. All of these companies were at the time spending a lot of money with YouTube in advertising revenue, and it did look as if, you know, YouTube was basically saying, don't criticize these big corporations. And the big corporations seem to be wielding their power to silence the little guy, which obviously isn't very democratic. And in a democratic system, it's pretty scandalous to see big companies using their corporate muscle to bully out a guy who's got about, you know, 11,000 subscribers. You know, it's a bit embarrassing, really, to be honest, isn't it, Patrick? You know, you think if a company that's a publicly listed company with, you know, tens and tens of thousands of employees, millions and millions or billions of pounds maybe even in turnover, is actually having to bully a guy with, you know, 11,000 subscribers, that's pretty embarrassing. But this year, I've done a follow-up. This year, I've done Christmas adverts, 2018, more liberal propaganda. And this year's, I made sure not to tag anyone. I abided by all the rules. I made sure that it couldn't be taken down for that. And I was very careful with my wording. But this year, too, I've done an analysis of the crop of Christmas adverts, specifically the Tesco Christmas adverts, and how yet again these adverts are, and whilst in some cases they're not as bad as last year's, there are some companies like Tesco who have utterly doubled down on last year's agenda, on what they did last year, and have come out with equally sickening videos. And I am more than willing to carry on criticizing these companies, because that's what we must do.
And, you know, it's this is great, because the advertising industry has among others, has really, really been weaponized into this whole propaganda, into whites accepting the loss of their own countries, you know, white guilt and all of this. It's become, as much as Hollywood movies or the news industry, the advertising industry has become very much a vehicle of propaganda and disinformation. And the Christmas adverts, this is a really, really good case study, and I'm glad you're doing a follow-up, and I hope it becomes an annual event. It would be nice to do something like that for the Super Bowl. Just around the year, when I'm doing business on the internet, going to bank sites, going to, you know, auto insurance or health insurance or whatever, going to these various sites or seeing their advertisements on TV, their application forms, they're just gratuitous. It's so gratuitous how multicultural and anti-white they are. One, this time of year, there's in the United States, you get a mass of advertisements aimed at senior citizens for insurance. And, one of the forms that came through the mail, it on the cover, it shows these happy black people, and they're welcoming home a black woman soldier. And she's dressed in camouflage, and they've got a big welcome home, and there's all these happy black people meeting her. And then you turn the page, and the next page, you see a older white woman, and she is pushing around her white son in a wheelchair because he's had both his legs blown off. And then the next page is another happy white woman, except she's missing her leg. And, you know, then the next page is some happy Hispanics with their grandchildren. And how blatant is it? The only white people they show have been mutilated. What are they trying to tell us? I mean, isn't that hatred? That you show all the happy, successful minorities, and then when you show the white people, they're mutilated.
It's very similar with the adverts here in the UK. I mean, on the Tesco adverts specifically, they've gone down the old Homer Simpson route. And what I mean by the Homer Simpson route, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, where it's where the white man is the buffoon. You see, I always find that in these adverts, there's always a buffoon, there's always a clown, there's always a guy who says something stupid or acts like a bit of an oaf. And that's always the white man. The white man is always the clown. And at the beginning of the particular advert that we're discussing, the Tesco advert, they're passing a tray of, I don't know if you guys will even know what this is, though, Yorkshire puddings around the table.
Yeah, it's dog meat. It's dog meat, right? I mean, made out of Yorkshire Terriers.
No, sure. That's a joke.
That's a Korean joke. So
that's a Korean joke, yeah. No, it's not. The Yorkshire puddings are like, they're sort of like a pancake mix that are put in the oven and left to rise. And they're obviously, were originally probably a cheap way to fill people up. But they're very nice, and they're you know, everyone likes Yorkshire puddings with their Sunday roast, but as they're passing around the tray of Yorkshire puddings at Christmas, the sort of the buffoon, and he's like a portly guy, he's a big sort of, you know, chunky, sort of podgy bloke, and they pass him the, and he's got a Christmas hat on out of a Christmas cracker as well, so, you know, he looks like a clown, you know, and they pass him the tray of Yorkshire puddings, and his first thing he says is, he goes, "Yorkshire's at Christmas, not in my house." And then the woman to the right of him, or sorry, to his left, is, leans in, sort of rolling her eyes, and she's like, "It's not your house, Barry. You know, put him in his place." And that kind of sets the tone for the whole advert, that the white guy is the buffoon. He's the one who makes the stupid outbursts. He's the one that says the pig-headed or slightly ignorant or silly thing, and everyone slaps him in his place. And later on, he says something else at the table, and the same woman rolls her eyes at his sort of buffoonery. And this becomes a theme. But the other white guys in the advert similarly have something wrong with them. So one of the white guys is a weird metrosexual male. Now, when he first appears on screen, it's actually very difficult to tell he was a male. And obviously, in making this video, I watched it several times, and in the first few takes, you sort of pick up on several things, but then as you watch it more, you see several of the more subtle and well-hidden things that would be more subconscious, that, you know, after repeated TV viewings, people would slowly start to see. They'd slowly start to take these things in. And on the repeated viewings, it took me repeated viewings, actually, because at first glance, I couldn't tell in the group of three who were men and who were women. At a glance, it wasn't clear who the males and females were. So your second male that stands out is one of these metrosexual kind of, you know, gender-bending types. You don't know, is he gay? Is he straight? Is he a transgender? Is he, you just don't know. Is he a genderqueer? Is he one of these weird, you know, non-binaries? You just don't know. But that's another weak position for the white male to be in. Then the final white male that really struck home with me in this advert was an elderly gentleman. Now, everyone else is initially in the house or in their houses, except for a group of carol singers who are obviously majority non-white, because, you know, people going around singing carols for charity are always non-white. So, you know, that's the other thing. They're the charitable good ones. But everyone else, they're in their homes. They're in their homes doing things as a family unit. Now, the final white man that I'm discussing, he isn't in his home. He isn't doing things as a family unit. He stood outside a very large, in the grounds of a large but antiquated house. And he's alone. It looks windswept. And they've placed a grey filter over the whole scene. So the message with him is that the old, white, posh, well-spoken gentleman, he's lonely. He's on his own. So there you have three depictions of the white male. You've got the comedic buffoon, the oaf, the clown, the one who gets slapped down by the woman, the one who gets told, "Oh, come on, Barry, you're ruining it again. You know, you and your bloody big mouth, Barry, shut up and eat your food." So he's the first. The second is your limp-wristed, metrosexual, weak, beta male. And the third is your well-spoken, gentlemanly, but quite crucially, alone. Your third white male, he is alone. He is alone, he's unaccompanied, he has a grey filter placed on him. And all this is to play on the symbolry that he is out of date. He is not part of the fun. He's been left out in the cold because people don't want him. Because remember, they also have to put in somewhere that not only are the white men weak and clownish, but they're also not wanted, surplus to requirement. Old white men are bad and have been abandoned. They're part of the past. They're a relic. People don't want to spend Christmas with them. And that's another very powerful and quite a dark message that they've woven into this advert. And obviously the contrast to that is the ethnic minorities, or in this advert, the majorities. You know, the final scene is a large, ethnically homogenous family who just happen to be all of African descent. And they are the most well-adjusted, the most polite, they're having the most fun, their table is beautifully dressed, the food is beautifully cooked. Everything is absolutely perfect. You know, this is the quintessential Christmas scene, and it's all people of African descent. And there's several other little digs like that. Like I said, the people carol singing, the people raising money for charity, they are, again, overwhelmingly not of European origin. And there's another very telling scene in this as well, one which, you know, it's just a little dig, but it's subtle dig. There's an Indian couple who educate everyone on how to cook the turkey. Because somebody said, oh, have you brined the turkey? Well, I never in my life have heard of anyone brining a turkey. People cook turkeys in goose fat. That's the traditional way to cook them. People know that. But it's the Indian couple that remind the British people, the whites, that you need to put goose fat on your turkey because they're better at Christmas than us. And their houses are the nicest as well. And it's these little digs, these little playoffs, these little juxtapositions that not everyone notices immediately. Not everyone is conscious of these, but they notice them subconsciously. And when they're being repeated time and time again, because people watch these adverts multiple times, and when they're being repeated time and time again, and most crucially, when multiple adverts are all pushing the same message, it's almost like a drip on a stone, and slowly that water will work its way through. Slowly it'll burrow its way through and get into the rock. And that's what it's doing to your mind. And no matter how sort of resilient you think you are, eventually you see these things. Eventually they work their way into your head. And obviously Tesco did this last year. But that's not the end of it, you see. There's also several other little subtle things. For example, they visit a maternity ward, and the nurse is not white, and the woman who's just given birth is white, which is a reminder to people in Britain that, you know, the immigrants who come here are helping us, and they're great, and, you know, the NHS couldn't run without immigrant nurses, even though it's health tourists that are destroying it and bringing it to absolute ruin. But, you know, put that one out of the way. Then it skips elsewhere in the maternity ward, and you have a lesbian massaging another lesbian's shoulders just before she gives birth, because last year they had the homosexual couple and this year they've got the lesbian couple. And finally, they have to even get the Muslims in there. They have to get the Muslims in there because as a final sort of dig, as a final kind of up yours to the Christmas spirit and what Christmas is all about, when they are at one of the different families, they're all playing Scrabble, and of course there's a Muslim couple there sat playing Scrabble and enjoying the sort of Christmas festivities with their Christian friends. Now again, that just doesn't happen. Now I know people who work in retail, and I am going somewhere with this, it seems like a bit of a digression, but people who work in retail, they have massive sales on Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas Day. And they have to staff their store on Christmas Day to prepare for the Boxing Day sales. So those stores, whilst not being allowed legally to be open to the public, they are actually open and running, and people are working there. And the people I know in retail have told me it's completely staffed with Muslims and with ethnic minorities that don't care about Christmas. They don't want to celebrate Christmas. They don't want anything to do with Christmas. It's just another day of the week to them. So they come into work as we'd go into work if it was Ramadan or Hanukkah, you know. But in the world of Tesco's marketing department, these people are integral to the Christmas festivities. They're around at their friends playing Scrabble and, you know, eating Christmas nibbles. And it's just absolute garbage. They did this last year, and it turned people off. It put people off Tesco's. And this year, it's put people off Tesco's again. Because if you actually go and view this stomach-churning marketing garbage, you'll see that at the moment, it has a like-dislike ratio of something like 1 to 3. So for every like it's got more than 3 dislikes.
Wow. Well, we're coming up on the break, and of course we've been talking about advertisements, we've been talking about brainwashing. After the break, I want to talk a little bit about the reality. How much is this really penetrating? How much are we actually being demoralized? And we'll talk about that after the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Well, back to the show, National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Collett. And Mark, I recently went to the zoo, or as I call it, visited my relatives and my family. especially the monkey house. But
especially the monkey house.
Yeah, that's my homecoming. But I go to zoos around the world, around the country. I'm kind of a connoisseur. But, you know, sometimes I'm looking more at the people than at the animals, and I really am. And it, you know, of course, you're not getting exactly a cross section of society because people tend to go to the zoos with their children. Now, I'll go by myself. I don't mind. I love going to the zoo, but it's typically people with children. And so, first of all, if you're in America, you see that most of the kids aren't white. But then also you see all of these, you'll see young white women with mulatto children, almost never with a black father there, but you can see who fathered the kids. And you'll see a lot of middle-aged women or men with their mulatto grandkids. You're seeing every time I go, I see more and more of it. And then everybody is fat. But, you know, you expect the black women to be fat because obesity is so common among black women. And the only people who aren't fat seem to be the Chinese people. But the whites, okay, fat, and even the ones with white kids are likely, you know, the man's going to be walking around with a big beer belly and wearing a football jersey with the name of some black athlete on the jersey. Or the, you know, and I go, and it's almost demoralizing to go. Certainly the people seem demoralized, both in terms of having lost morale and having lost morals. What's it like over on your side of the pond?
Well, I find one of the sort of darkest barometers of the trouble we're in, not necessarily from the perspective of immigration, but to plug my book, if you were charting the fall of Western man, one of the greatest barometers of that is actually when you visit supermarkets. Now, we all have to buy, you know, goods and things, and I do try to buy things, not necessarily from the supermarket. You know, I mean, I go to the gym a lot, so I buy, like, protein. I order that from independent sellers, usually through eBay. I like to support my local butcher if we want meat pies, if we want pork pies, if we want black pudding or fresh butcher's sausages. We always go to the butchers for those items, and we like to support them. You know, we support local restaurants, we support you know, as many local businesses as we can. But sometimes you have to go to the supermarket, not just for convenience, but often smaller stores don't have all the goods and all the things that you actually want these days, because only the bigger stores can afford to stock everything, which is a bit of a grim truth, really, when you see how much power and how much buying power these supermarkets have. So if you want something that's a bit different, or if you want something like a particular sauce or a particular condiment or something like that, you know, your best bet's the supermarket. But when you go into these places, they really are, you know, a cross-section of society. And when you see that cross-section, you can actually see how far we as a people have fallen. You see, like you say, the white women with their, you know, non-white offspring. You see people who are hugely obese, extremely out of shape. You know, they're overweight, they're badly dressed, they're disheveled, they have a lack of manners. You see people who can't bring up their children anymore. That's another very dark and telling part of what's happened to our people. You see people who can't bring up their children. You see these families who, you know, the mothers are constantly shrieking, the kids won't do what they're told, you know, the kids are throwing tantrums, and there doesn't seem to be any actual parental skills anymore. There doesn't seem to be any discipline. But really, it's the size and the shape and the look of the people. You see people now, and, you know, all these supermarkets have these special little sort of mobility scooters for fat customers. So these fat customers waddle in, you know, help themselves to one of these, you know, electric mobility scooters. You know, they sit on that and they whiz around the store, piling up their, you know, the cage on the front with you know, as many treats and snacks and sugary or fatty rubbish as they can cram into this little cage that's on the front. And you're looking at this, and these people have no shame. Now, I'm not talking about disabled people here either. I'm not mocking the disabled.
We got about 15 seconds, or maybe even not. We will not be talking about disabled people when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, Patrick Slattery and Mark Collett. And we're not going to be blackpilling the whole show, and we're certainly not criticizing disabled people, but we are suggesting that people not self-disable themselves, and that's what we're seeing, right? People self-disabling themselves.
No, we are, though. That's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing a state here where, you know, we're not having a go at disabled people, but anyone who genuinely needs a mobility scooter because they're actually disabled. But these people aren't disabled. These people have disabled themselves through their gluttony, through their greed, through their disgusting way of life. And what's more, There's no shame. They have no shame. They don't ride these mobility scooters around thinking, you know, they're like, oh God, Beryl, I can't believe we've got ourselves in this state. It's terrible. They don't care. To them, what the way they are is fine. It's normal. It's all right, you know. And you look at all this, and I seriously see this in a way that is just, it is the fall of Western manner. A walk around a supermarket illustrates just how far we've fallen, not just physically, but mentally. A lack of self-awareness, a lack of pride, a lack of discipline, a lack of order, and a total shameless society. Because now you see, shame is a dirty word. But when you get rid of shame, you end up shameless. And there was an old sitcom on Channel 4 called Shameless, and it was about a society that lived on this sink estate. And this society, this family that lived on this sink estate, they were awful, and they were shameless. And that shouldn't be a good thing. Being shameless is a bad thing. But we are a society of shameless, bloated slobs. And this has been engineered. You know, this hasn't happened by accident. We didn't just wake up one day and get here because we accidentally. We got here because people wanted us to get here, because we had all the wrong things pushed upon us. And when you actually look at that, when you actually analyze what's gone wrong, the way that we as a people have been taken off track, a lot of this is through advertising. And that's where we started, and we're sort of taking it back to that theme. But the theme of advertising is important, because all of these negatives are pushed relentlessly on our people by those who run the advertising agencies, those in the media, those who control what we see and what we hear. And that's a very important thing to note, because they normalize these things. They make us believe that the world around us is normal. Everyone's doing it. They push it upon us. They push social norms that we then adhere to. And that's a very damaging and a very worrying thing. And yes, this is to a degree black pilling, but we must acknowledge where we're going wrong if we're ever going to stop going wrong. You know, you need to look at the world around you and say, look, you know, where have we gone off track? If we want to get off, if we want to get back on the track, if we want to get back on, you know, a good path in life. And, you know, all of these problems have created a race of people that can't defend themselves, that can't, that can't or won't or would be completely unable to actually defend themselves. If we faced an overwhelming physical threat, we wouldn't be able to do anything. We would be too fat. We would be infirm. We would be enfeebled. We wouldn't be able to, you know, take up arms. We wouldn't be able to defend our own families. We'll just be like lambs to the slaughter. And it's almost now as if, you know, when I was at school, the fat kids were the minority. There were the one or two kids in a year were fat, and they were mocked for being fat. Now every kid's fat. You know, 50, 60% of the kids in classes are overweight now. And the thin and healthy kids, they're the ones that the advertising agencies and the media moguls and the left-wing press are saying, you can't put the fit and healthy people in the adverts because that's exclusionary. That'll make the majority of fatsos feel bad about themselves. You know, that'll be fat shaming. You know, you now have an advert with a beautiful girl on it in a bikini, and it says, are you beach body ready for summer? And it has to be torn down because it's shaming the masses. It's shaming the fat slobs who aren't beach body ready because they've spent the last eight months, just gorging themselves on treats and snacks. So everything's been turned on its head. And we talked about shame a minute ago, but we've had a reversal of shame. So shame now isn't applied to the fat, the disheveled, the unkempt, the slob. Shame is applied to the best. So if you're someone who is upstanding, if you're somebody who's kept fit and healthy, if you're somebody who keeps his mind sharp, if you're somebody who goes to the library, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute, so remember what I said about the library. You're the one who's shamed. You're the one who needs to put their clothes on. You're the one who needs to keep their head down. You're the ones who shouldn't be showing off their body, because there's fat pride. But if you're a nice, tidy lady who's kept a bikini body, well, you better put your clothes on, because that shames the fat people. So you're being shamed for being kept in shape, but you are being actually told to show yourself off and be proud. If you're fat, well, they haven't got rid of shame. They've just reversed it. So they're shaming the best. They're shaming the attractive. They're shaming the healthy. They're shaming the fit. They're shaming the mother who's got well-adjusted children, because she's a housewife and she needs to be in the workplace, so we'll shame her. And it's all the wrong way around. And one way that you can see it, I said library earlier, and that's very important, because we know who owns the media. There's no need to spell it out. We know who owns it, and we know what they're pushing. Well, one thing that was always very prevalent when I was a child was that if you went to the library and studied hard, you're a dork, you're a swot, you were sad, you weren't one of the cool kids, you're a nerd. And that was pushed across all mediums. That was pushed in everything. So like in The Simpsons, Bart Simpson's the cool kid. He's the kid you want to be like. He's the skateboarding, smart-mouthing, popular kid. But he's the kid that always fails in class. He's the kid that never gets the grade. He's the kid that almost gets held back a year because he hasn't actually got the grades, because he keeps failing. And what kind of message is that? And who's pushing this message? So all of our kids... Now,
but his sister is smart and does well.
Yeah, and it's usually, as I said, it's less bad for the woman to do well, because obviously they want women to, you know, they're more positive towards women. But the point is that the media have pushed this on our children as well. So children now think virtuous things are actually bad. So if you're in the Cub Scouts, you're a dork, you're a loser. If you go to the library and read books and study hard, you're a dork, you're a loser. If you want to get good grades, you're a swot, you're sad, you're a nerd. But if you want to sit around eating Doritos and drinking Mountain Dew and playing computer games and getting fat and rolling around on the mobility cart, shoving as many things in to the trolley as you can, you can't be shamed, because shaming people like that, it's exclusionary, it's body shaming. These people should be proud of who they are. And society's been upended. So striving for excellence, even as a child now, you are told that if you strive for excellence, especially academic excellence, you are a complete failure. And this is pushed upon white children. And we then look at, you know, test result scores, and you see these Asian kids doing, East Asian kids especially, doing very well, and their parents have said to them, you know, no, TV, you know, respect your elders. Why are they doing better? Well, I know they're high IQ people, but they're not that higher IQ than us. You know, we're talking 2 or 3 points as an average of a population, not enough to make a significant difference. We're not talking a standard deviation or 2 standard deviations. We're not talking about the difference between an Anglo-Saxon and a Somalian. We're talking 2, 3, 4 points. But they're doing better because they have a traditional family, because these things aren't being pushed upon them. They don't have the TV in the houses. There's more discipline in the home. But we've had all that taken away. And when all the discipline and the order's taken away, and these bad role models and the media and the advertising companies push all this trash upon us, we go off track. And that thing I said about the library, I don't know if that's ever occurred to you, Patrick, but that's something I was thinking of a lot recently. How every young kid is basically told that if they try to succeed or try to do well at school, they are essentially absolutely shamed. They're absolutely told they shouldn't be trying to achieve. You know, achievement is bad. And that's the message. That's the message. And the effect on our kids, the effect on our youth, is absolutely clear to be seen by all. You know, the underachievement now amongst the white population is growing and growing. But this isn't something that's happened by accident. Now, I'm sure there's sociologists and psychologists and government analysts that would write 100-page reports, you know, trying to explain all this. But the fact of the matter is, it's very, very simple to explain. If you give people bad role models, if you tell people that things that are bad for them are desirable, then that populace will follow their bad role models like the rats followed the Pied Piper. These people will look at what they're told is good and what they're told is virtuous and try to ape that. They will emulate people doing things that are bad. And that's how simple it is to take a population off track. Tell them that what is bad for them is actually good and give them role models who push those negatives as if they were virtues. And that happens to you, not when you're older, not when you're 20, not when you're 30, but this is happening from birth. It's something that's conditioned. It's a mental state that surrounds and envelops everyone of European descent. And it's in everything. And people think, oh, well, they're only adverts. They're not only adverts. These adverts are designed not by idiots. They're not designed by morons. They're designed by very clever, intellectual people who know what they're doing and are masters of manipulation. But here comes the white pill. Here comes the white pill. And the white pill is that people are now seeing through it. Mm-hmm. People are now saying, enough is enough. After last year's Christmas adverts, things changed. I have never seen so many big retailers have all their adverts downvoted. Never. Mm-hmm. Never before have I seen that many big companies have their massive marketing campaigns upended by the public. Thousands of downvotes. Some of them, like Tesco's, were so downvoted. There was a public backlash like you've never seen. Mm. And this year, it's happening again. Yeah. Tesco's advert is being massively downvoted. Sainsbury's advert, massively downvoted. And what's more, Sainsbury's advert, they've disabled the comments. Tesco advert, you read the comments under the Tesco's advert, it is like reading a nationalist bulletin board.
Yeah.
There's 1,000 comments, and the top 200 are all red-pilled, talking about the Kalergi plan, talking about white genocide, talking about who runs the media. And that's the white pill. The white pill is that we are now fighting back. And we're hurting these big companies because these big companies that push this multicultural rubbish are now feeling the pinch. Last year, as in, I don't mean 2017, I mean between Christmas and now, so the last year for them, has been terrible. Last Christmas was one of the worst Christmases for British retailers ever.
Here's the thing. I think in the past, they spent a long, like you mentioned, these marketing firms, they have lots of statisticians, lots of researchers, and of course their main job is to increase sales. But I think in the past they were aimed primarily at sales, but for, you know, through whatever mechanism, were incentivized to put in a certain amount of what we call pods, cultural poisoning. What's been happening the past number of years is they've been pushing the boundary on it, and certainly these Christmas adverts that you highlighted in your video last year, it was more about cultural poisoning and less about marketing. But these companies, these are publicly traded companies, and if their advertisements are going to actually turn off their shoppers, they ultimately have to answer to shareholders. And, you know, I think they've pushed it so far that now the advertisements are just no longer even working as advertisements. I guess they do, like, to an extent, people have become so brainwashed and so demoralized that maybe they do continue to work as advertisements, even though that same advert 10 years ago or 15 years ago would have completely turned off people. But yeah, the white pill is that they've taken it too far, and we've seen how what happens when they take it too far. They took it too far, they got Brexit. They take it too far, they get Donald Trump. They take it too far, they're starting to get a backlash. Now it's in the comment sections, but what's next? Is there going to be a boycott of places?
They are crushing their own companies. And a lot of these companies are PLCs. They answer to shareholders. And the great thing about this is when it comes to the shareholders meeting and there's not enough to get the bottles of champagne out, why is there no champagne at the shareholders meeting? Oh, well, this Christmas went very badly because our marketing campaign was hugely downvoted and it really attracted a lot of negative criticism. What was the criticism? Well, we were pushing multiculturalism, that everyone's welcome, that, you know, Christmas is for all. And we tried to downplay the Christian aspect of Christmas. Oh, okay. And no one shopped here. Right, well, I'm selling my stock then. Oh, I'm selling my stock too, because Tesco's is no longer making profit for us. So we're selling. And that's how we crash these people. Because remember, you can hurt them. Mm-hmm. You can fight back. You can go. I go to the butcher's for my meat pies.
We'll be back. We'll hear about your meat pies on the other side of the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting Truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff, and we're talking about Mark's meat pies that he buys at the store.
Yes, and also I'm Mark Collett, not Mark Dankoff. But anyway,
wrong Mark.
But anyway, as I was saying, you can go to your local butchers, you can go to a local baker's, you can go to local greengrocers. You can buy as many things as you can from shops that push the right message. So, for example, there's a retailer in the UK called Aldi. It's a supermarket, and they do these charming Christmas adverts where the vegetables are all animated, and they talk, and they have a little adventure, and everyone loves it. You know what? Go and buy your shopping from Aldi. If you don't like Tesco's, bin them. You can bin all of these companies that you don't like. Bin them. Because they rely on you. You do not rely on them. You are the one that puts your money in their wallet. You are the one that fills their tills. And believe me, you have the power to empty their tills. And this year in the UK, we have seen some big high street names struggle. We have seen companies that have pushed very, very multiracial agendas, very multicultural agendas, have record bad years. And Tesco's had an awful Christmas last year. Debenhams had an awful Christmas. M&S had a bad Christmas. House of Fraser almost is done. They're in the midst of closing up shop, and their Christmas adverts were absolutely horrific. This is our way of striking back. These people think they're all powerful, but they're only as powerful, they're only as big, they've only got as much reach as we allow them, because we're the ones funding them, and we can take our funding elsewhere. We can make sure that our local butcher, our local baker, our local delicatessen, we can make sure that those people have a good Christmas.
Well, really,
and I'd much rather my local butcher have a good Christmas. Put your money in their pockets, because these big retailers are never going to do anything for us. They're only going to kick us. They're owned by people who hate us, but we have the power to kick them. They don't have the power to kick us. They might be able to censor me on YouTube, but we can make sure they're closing stores this time next year if they don't represent us the way we want to. And again, it's white people who mainly shop in these places. It's white people who spend big at Christmas. It's not the Muslim community. So if they want the Muslims to give them a bumper Christmas, they're looking to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm. Well, we only have a minute left, but when we're ready to do that, when we're ready to take our business elsewhere, that's when we win, because we control the purse strings of the society at the most basic level. You know,
yes.
We don't run the banks, but at the most basic level, we're the ones who are who control the financial assets at the most basic level. And when we start acting according to our group interests, we'll take back the situation.
Exactly. Well, look, thank you for having me on. Download my book from www.fallofwesternman.com, and I'll see you on Wednesday, Patrick, for my show. Have a great time.
Okay, and thank you for coming on again, Mark, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3333.